Welcome to fourthstream.com. This week, we're continuing with our study of some of God's attributes, and today we're discussing our Father and His perfect love.
Well, this is so cool because there are some great passages in the God story about God's perfect love, so we're excited to talk about some of those today.
Yeah, and God does and says some of the most interesting things to convince us that He's real and wants to be intimately involved with our thoughts and lives, I think. And so I saw this quote by John Piper, I believe.
Well, first of all, I want to know, what did you think of my little piece of artwork that I found?
Oh, that's fun. Looks like a butterfly in there from this distance.
It's actually a little heart.
Aww.
Oh, that's sweet. That's part of what is fun to me about doing the podcast is that because I have an art background or whatever, I'll just do a search and I'll find some kind of a cool image that reflects the conversation.
And you wish it would show up in the
So
in the audio.
back to your quote.
Well, it's by John Piper and it captures a bit of what we're talking about today. Quote, God loves to show mercy. Let me say it again. God loves to show mercy. He is not hesitant or indecisive or tentative in His desires to do good to His people. His anger must be released by a stiff safety lock, but His mercy has a hair trigger, close quote.
Hmm.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, it's a good imagery of the contrast between the two because, you know, God is a very long-suffering God.
Well, and when I'm struggling through something or when life isn't going as easily as I want it to, sometimes I feel like the truth is just the reverse of that.
Yes.
So it's really good for me to be reminded of some of the verses that we're going to talk about now, just that God loves being merciful.
So did you get a chance? Are we going to talk about the one out of Deuteronomy 30? Isn't that just
I love
huge
this one.
Watershed?
Yes. In fact, I want to read a couple verses before it. It's out of Deuteronomy 30, and we're starting with 11 through 14, except I'm going to back up a couple verses to set up the context. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands, in children, livestock, and crops. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as He delighted in your ancestors, if you obey the Lord your God and keep His commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's kind of the setup.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, this commandment that I just gave you, that I just read, that I'm commanding you today isn't too much for you. It's not out of your reach. It's not on a high mountain. You don't have to get mountaineers to climb the peak and bring it down to your level and explain it before you can live it. And it's not across the ocean. You don't have to send sailors out to get it, bring it back, and then explain it before you can live it. No, the word is right here and now, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as near as the heart in your chest. Just do it.
I love that because, you know, there's a kind of a popular way of looking at the law of God and saying, well, you know, it can't be done. And I understand that the law can't be kept perfectly. It's impossible for any human being to do it. And that wasn't really the purpose of the law. But this passage right in the middle of Deuteronomy is explaining that, you know, this isn't something that is unreachable. God's love, His perfect love, is within our reach to make use of in our lives.
That, and it's not... It's not so inscrutable that we can't figure it out. Like He can't teach our hearts. He can just teach our hearts about it. The other thing, I just feel like this shows such kindness from Him. He knows how He's made us. He knows that we're weak. So He shows that He's coming to us to make it easy for us in some ways, for us to know Him and understand Him. And then the other thing I wonder is that this appears in other verses to bring such glory to Him. And so Is our obedience just bring Him glory, or is it possible that as the angels look on and the demons look on, when they see our obedience, they're like, oh my goodness, this glorifies God.
Because their realm isn't only a location realm, it's different in the sense of our relationship with God.
Yeah.
How in the world are we getting through all
these
passages? I mean, if you're listening today and you think, I'd like to consider a little bit more about our millennial Father of perfect love. Down below, there are a couple of studies, and we're just looking at some of the passages from one of those, because this is extensive. You could think about this all week long.
Okay, so Psalm 139. I love the first 12 verses. You probably like the last 12.
Okay.
So I'm going to read my 12, and we'll go from
there.
You're
going to read all 12 of them?
Well.
Oh, my goodness.
It's pretty good. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. you know, everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there, then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit? And he goes on. Can I go up? Can I go down? Can I go out to the horizon? You'll find me in a minute. You're already waiting.
That is beautiful.
And I just think the verses make me feel so safe in that he's comforting to, it's comforting to know that he knows us so well that he doesn't ever go, oh, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
You know, like,
forgot about them.
I didn't know that was going to happen.
Well, you know, the first passage we looked at talks about his perfect love being within reach. This is talking about the extent mm-hmm. of his perfect love. And it's just it's a beautiful psalm. If you go through it, Psalm 139, we don't have time to look at all of the verses today, but just consider it, because when you think about someone who loves that completely with that kind of extension of ability, what? He's great.
Yeah. Okay, how many more do we have time for?
I don't know, a couple more.
Okay. Psalm 103, verse 17. God's love, though, is ever and always eternally present to all who fear him, making everything right for them and their children as they follow his covenant ways and remember to do whatever he said.
And it reminds me of that song by Need to Breathe, you know, just talking about your love is, you know, like radiant diamonds, and it's multiplying. It's just multiplying. And that's what that passage is saying. God's love multiplies. And mm-hmm. so when it's evidenced in our lives, it just flows out into mm-hmm. the lives around us. And that is so incredible to be a part of that aspect of what God is doing.
Yeah. And okay, let's just do one more. Micah 7:18. I love this one. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight or take great pleasure to show mercy.
Yeah, and my translation says you delight in your unchanging love. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the great things about our Father that is so incredible, is that, you know, his he's not fickle. You know, it's really easy when you're a human being. When I get offended, you know, I react. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't respond. I react, you know, when I get offended. But that's not the nature of God. Uh-huh. And it's not the nature of what he's created. And because he's the kind of God that we're talking about and describing today, the extent of his consistency is so amazing. So I can count on that. I'm not talking about a Greek, you know, capricious God, mm-hmm. you know, that's half human and half God. I'm talking about somebody who is my perfect millennial father, mm-hmm. my father of perfect love.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, thanks for hanging with us today. There's some other great passages here. There's also a conversation about 1 Corinthians 13. It's really easy because, you know, you've heard that, you know, how many weddings, and you've heard it read. But I find that if I take the time to go back through that and just think it through in relationship to my mm-hmm. life, it is just an incredibly liberating and encouraging thing.
There are several things that get me out of that one, but one of them is just that you don't hold a grudge. You know, yeah. You don't take into account a wrong suffered. It's like, what? That's not even possible.
You know, that is such a familiar passage. We even have a blanket that has it on. But, you know, it's one of those things.
Turned upside down.
Every one of those phrases in there
uh-huh.
is just so incredibly powerful. And there's so much freedom in understanding and experiencing true love. And that's what we're looking for, right, is true freedom of the heart.
Well, and then how about this one? 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And that just strikes me a lot, because I have some things that make me afraid right now.
Well, there's just that's a driver, you know, mm-hmm. Fear is a big driver for people in the human race. And sometimes all people are in the human race, I guess, but you know, it's
all
really,
of a sudden we listen to ourselves and go, easy, what did I just say?
It's easy to redefine fear to being different things, but we are a very fearful uh-huh. race. And because of that, perfect love, when we encounter perfect love, well, how great is it to live without fear?
Mm-hmm.